In our readings today, on this All Saints Sunday, we hear about God's triumph over death, about the new heavens and the new earth that God is bringing about how God will dwell with us and destroy the power of sin and death forever. We hear that these words are trustworthy and true. And yet there are many times, living in this old earth and these old heavens, that we doubt that these words are trustworthy and true. We are confronted by difficulties, challenges, the chaos of the world that ultimately tells us death, it has the final word. Death is the strongest force we will encounter. There is no coming back from it. There is no overcoming it. And when we encounter this chaotic, swirling force that is obliquely referenced in our reading from Revelation, this sea is no more in the new heavens and the new earth, that chaotic, swirling force that seeks to flood us and overcome us, God removes. But for now, it still swirls about. For now, we still are battered by the waves. And when we experience these forces, when the sting of death lifts its ugly head, we often become bound by it. It grips us in ways that we cannot be free. We hear this very plainly for Lazarus today as he's literally bound in his grave clothes, but there are others in his story still equally bound by death, if not lying in a tomb. But Mary and Martha and the Jews who are with them are also gripped by this traumatic event that they wish could be otherwise. They are processing their grief, and in that they look both to the past, trying to figure out a way that we could change the past so that the present wouldn't have this terrible reality, and also locking down our future, assuming we know what it will definitely be, and often in ways that are despairing. We see the past issue raised with Mary today as she goes to Jesus and says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you would have just showed up sooner, if you could have come, then these things wouldn't have happened. Can we just go back in time and you leave sooner to come here?" The Jews with her echo this sentiment. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have prevented this man from dying? Couldn't things have been different if Jesus, and for us, if God, had worked sooner? Had done something different? Well, of course, the answer is yes. But when we're stuck there in this past, we have no ability to recognize God's work in the present. We are so convinced that something else had to change that we now have no control over. We see the future being articulated by Martha today in very practical ways. As they make their way to the tomb and Jesus tells them to roll the stone away, she raises the issue that Lazarus, by the way, has been dead for 4 days, and there's a stench. There is no other possibility than this. There will continue to be a stench because Lazarus will remain dead, just like all dead people. And Martha does not want the stench of death to enter into the land of the living. We know that we individually and collectively experience these same tensions ourselves, that when we are confronted by challenge, by chaos in the world, we too can be locked into the past and wonder what could be different then to make our present reality better. Or we can look to a future and think we already know the outcome, be convinced that only death can remain, and that this stench will persist. We can see that collectively as our nation prepares for the election this coming Tuesday. And odds are good come Wednesday morning, if we represent demographics of the country at large, about half of us will be moderately pleased with the outcome and the other half will despair and wonder how we could have gotten to this place. And we will likely see our future as limited. We will wonder what will come of us. We will look to a past and say, how have we gotten to this point? We've also experienced this as a congregation over these last 70 years. There have been times we too have wondered about our past, have thought maybe Jesus should have shown up sooner in different ways to save certain ministries, certain programs, to assure us that certain people would continue to be around to champion and to lead the various ministries that we have here. And we wonder how could our past be different so that our present situation could be better. Or, of course, we can be concerned about our future. We, too, can wonder about what will come of us. And there will be those times that we will despair and think that only death is our future. And this will be a stench that it is very high odds we will not want to address. We will want to leave behind that stone. It's locked away inside a tomb of our hearts or a tomb of our consciousness that we do not bring it out to bear. The weight of the future and the perspective that death is what reigns there is often too much for us. And so we have struggled with both of these over these 70 years. We have struggled with these chaotic forces in our lives and in our world. And it is difficult when these flare up, when we notice this narrative of death, to be able to hear anything else. And yet God is speaking today, speaking in the very midst of these challenges, of these sufferings, to say that God is still at work, that God is the one who holds our future, that the way God desires to work is to bring life out of death, is to find ways to welcome us to God's feast, as we hear in Isaiah, where God will nourish us and sustain us, where we will be gathered together on God's holy mountain, and the shroud that is cast over all nations will be destroyed. Death will be swallowed up forever. We hear God's promised future in Revelation of this new heaven and this new earth where God will dwell among us. And through God's power and presence with us, will remove our mourning, our sadness. Death will be no more. Crying will be no more. And in both of these narratives, we see that God will wipe away every tear from our eye. This is the future God is promising to us. This is the future Jesus has come to show us in our gospel story. This is what Jesus does for Mary, Martha, and the Jews, gives them a glimpse of the future of God, where mourning and crying and pain are no more, where death has been swallowed up and destroyed. Jesus invites them to trust. And this is his life's purpose, his ministry. He has already declared to Martha that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus focuses on the present continuously. He does not deal with the past. He does not make excuses for why he was late. He doesn't even apologize for his tardiness. He says, "I have come now to make God's presence known in this place." And when Jesus encounters this narrative of a future held in death that Martha lifts up, "Lord, there is a stench," he pushes back. "Did I not tell you that if you would trust and believe, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus pushes back against our futures held in bleakness and convinced that death remains and says, "This is not God's future. God's future is different. Life is still possible because the God of the living is still at work." Father, Jesus says, I want everyone to know the future you are bringing about. And even as Jesus works to demonstrate this future where God will wipe every tear from our eyes, Jesus does so from the vantage point of our own selves. Jesus has already entered into this chaos, to this swirling mess of our existence, and Jesus himself has shed some tears. He has wept with them. And even so, he works and labors to make God's loving presence known, that they can experience a reality where God will wipe away their tears. Jesus is ever working in the present moment to ensure that God's perspective is heard, to help cultivate our belief and our trust in these words that are certain and sure, that overcome the power of death. And Jesus demonstrates that word of God today as he says, Lazarus, come out. And we hear that the dead man came out, dead no longer. And then we hear what we all need to hear. Unbind him and let him go. Jesus has come to free us from these grippings and trappings of sin and death that hold us fast. And in this moment, Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and the whole community are unbound and participate in this unbinding process as they bear witness to the future God is showing them in Christ. This too has been our experience, dear brothers and sisters. Christ has continued to show up in our midst over these 70 years, continuing to help us hear God's perspective, to call us out from the ways we are bound by these other voices and other narratives, to say this is the true presence of God and the true future God is bringing about. Here, God is working to bring life. This is the future we are called to trust in, and it unbinds us in ways that we may participate in our mission and ministry of celebrating and sharing the love of Christ. It frees us in ways that even when things look their worst, we can be confident that the future is held in God, and that Jesus is still speaking to us the good news of that future and saying, this is what is truly true. It is trustworthy and acceptable. Believe what God is up to. And we who have encountered God's presence, who have seen glimpses of that future crashing into our present moment, are called to bear witness to that narrative. In a world that can get sucked into the forces of sin and death oh so easily, that when there may be well be those around us or even ourselves who are despairing and lamenting over the results that are read come Wednesday morning for our nation and for this world, we know still God holds the future. And this does absolutely nothing to disrupt our service to God in Christ. That we will still, come what may, whatever rules change, whatever policies are enacted, whatever laws are created, we will still celebrate and share the love of Christ just as we have done for 70 years and as we will continue to do as the people of God in this place. Indeed, today we still encounter Christ's perspective. Jesus still shows up and shares with us God's presence, gives us glimpses of God's future. This is what happens in the feast that we share in today. Here, we have the opportunity to encounter the very body and blood of Christ that unites us with one another, that fills us with God's love, and sends us out into the world to celebrate and share that love. Here, we are gathered across time and space with all those who have gone before us, who have participated in this ministry with us before and whose names were read earlier in the service and even beyond. And for this good news of God's love that keeps nourishing us and sustaining us, all we can say in response is thanks be to God. Amen.